Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays. I used to be very much Scrooge and not like this time of year. I don't know. For some reason, I think it's just the wear and tear from my wife on me year after year because she's really into Christmas. But I've gotten super into it. I'm the eggnog drinking, pajama wearing, Christmas lights hanging son of a gun now.
I've always said the best way to embrace the holidays is to be browbeaten into it. I've always said that.
You know who else were browbeaten last night?
Oh, my God.
The Wolves fans?
I can't deal with it. I just can't. I don't understand.
And there is a national – there is a national – there. Okay, so Clippers beat the Wolves last night in overtime. I didn't catch the game because I hurt my shoulder skiing yesterday and was basically saying ow over and over again.
Okay.
Clippers beat Wolves in overtime, and the general reaction that I got was there's two distinct reactions. There's Wolves fans who are in total woe is us mode, and there's national media that are largely like, are the Wolves not very good? Your thoughts?
The Wolves are good. They're not good enough to just win games. Like, they have to actually – they have to actually play a full game. But they are good enough. I mean, they're good. They're a good team. But they're not a team that can sleepwalk through a game and come out on top. What was weird is everyone had the same perception last night of the Wolves are getting destroyed, yet it's a close game. Like, that seemed to be the consensus, at least in my timeline. And it was accurate. That was the same thought I had. It felt like they were down 15 at one point, and they were actually up 3. And so it was a competitive game, the third competitive game they've had against the Clippers, who are a better team. Two of those have been in L.A. And they should have won. I mean, they absolutely should have won the game. There's no excuse. They're up 2. Kevin Martin gets the ball in the backcourt, tries to dribble, which is never a good idea for him. Gets his pocket picked. Ball goes to Jamal Crawford. They tie it up. I mean, we should have had a 90% free throw shooter going to the line to ice the game, right?
Yeah.
And instead, he turns it over, and they end up losing in overtime when they had a great chance to win that too. And now it's like the sky isn't falling; it has fallen, like it's done. And I look at it as the team has played the third toughest schedule in the league, which they've dropped some of the easier games in that schedule, but they've also lost the games they're supposed to lose. And the whole idea, at least that I've had for this season, is tread water the first 2 months when your schedule is tough, and then take advantage of a favorable schedule once the calendar turns, right?
Yeah.
And I've been saying it. I've been banging that drum the entire time. And I think the problem is they started out 3-0, and that meant they were going to win 55 games and make the Western Conference Finals or something. Like, people overreacted to their start, and now they're overreacting to their swoon, I guess, but it's a weird swing. I mean, they shouldn't have lost to the Lakers. That's an inexcusable loss. I don't know if they didn't take them seriously. I don't know what happened, but they should not have lost that game. They should have lost to the Clippers on most nights, but they had a chance to win it and they blew it. And now it's the point of, you know, now it's Kevin Love is gonna want to leave, and what do we do? And Ricky Rubio didn't score. Well, I mean, he must have had a horrible game. He got destroyed. He's hurting the offense. They have After last night, the offense dropped to 105.6 when he's on the court. That's really good.
And you feel that it's in large part because of his work.
He had 15 assists.
Right. I'm not debating. I'm asking. I don't know. Like, I'm having a hard time because you make a really compelling argument for why he's really good, and he's like the rug that pulls everything together. Like, he's the Lebowski rug of the Wolves.
I mean, he averages
and yet,
what?
And then, like, I get caught watching the jumper, and I'm like, God,
yeah, the
bad.
Jumper's ugly. Honestly, I'm more worried about the finishing than the jumper.
Yeah.
Just because that's the element of the game he needs. And the Wolves just in general miss
a
lot.
Well,
you've
got to have one or the other, right?
Right, exactly.
You've got to be able to hit layups or jumpers.
Yeah,
right?
I would rather a guy be able to finish at the basket, personally. Just because, yeah. I think with the way he runs the pick and roll, that's so much more deadly. Like, just so much more deadly. Because you can back off him, give him the jumper, and he doesn't necessarily take it on a pick and roll. Like, he looks for the pass and finds a pass. So, I don't know. I look at his game, and he's been a great defender. People will cite the the point guard PER against him, well, a lot of that comes in the pick and roll. Yeah. And the Wolves have defended the pick and roll poorly this year. He's part of that because he can't get through a screen, but you also don't have guys stepping up to stop that mid-level penetration. Like, there's just so much, there's so many factors that go into it to just pin it on, well, this guy's regressed. He has not regressed. That's the thing that drives me crazy. Has he made a leap? No, but he hasn't regressed. His assists are not double digits because they run a lot of the offense through Kevin Love and Nikola Pekovic in the high post. Now, yeah. You could argue he's not the right point guard for this offense. I don't necessarily agree, but I see the argument. Like, there's validity to it. I still think it works. But I don't understand the panic because he's a poor shooter when his defense has been awesome this year. He stops so much. He deflects so many things. He hounds a point guard constantly throughout a game. The idea that he just plays passing lanes is just absurdly false. And his distribution has been great. It's struggled at times. He's had lapses. It hasn't been perfect all year. But for the most part, he has had as good a year as he's ever had. It's just, it's a different kind of good than we're used to.
I wrote in power rankings in the kind of the top part, the intro part today, basically about how, like, there's some teams that are surprising, and that's a whole other subject. But there's also the fact of a lot of these teams are exactly what we thought they would be.
Yeah.
Instead of being in the beginning, we thought maybe they'd be better. You know, the Warriors for 2 weeks looked like they were going to be, like, one of the best teams in the league. Like, yeah. They looked unstoppable.
We were talking title contender.
Like, you and Ethan were like, Ethan was like, well, the Pacers are good, but the Warriors, and they look legitimately that good. And I still think that they can get back there. The Spurs loss is one of those, like, it's really bad, but I almost kind of understand it because I've seen too many teams take that team lightly when they don't play the big three.
Yeah.
It always happens. Like, I don't know why, but, like, I on the other hand, would be, like, this is a chance for us to have a W on their schedule versus the Spurs. I want to kill this team. Like, we have an opening here.
Well, it's also, I mean,
they're wounded.
You see bench players and role players before you, and you just naturally relax. Like, yeah. if you're playing pickup ball and you end up matching up against the crappy guy, you're probably going to let him shoot, right?
Yeah.
And if he hits a couple, well, then it's just stupid defense because you're just letting a guy shoot. And right. And not that that's necessarily happening, but you have NBA players who accept their role playing within a perfect system.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take it seriously. And teams don't for whatever reason.
So, like, and that's fine. So they can get back there. But in large part, a lot of this is just simply, you know, we thought the Wolves would be in contention for a playoff spot. They're in contention for a playoff
spot.
They're
two games back.
They're right there. One thing that would, and this sounds stupid, one thing that would help is winning their next three games. But, like, obviously that would help, but they have Washington, Milwaukee, and Dallas. They're at home versus Washington and Dallas. They dropped one to Washington that they should not have lost earlier this month. So hopefully they won't take them. They'll take them seriously this time. If they can win those three, guess what? They're 16-15. They're back over 500. And then if we look at their schedule in January, New Orleans, that's a win. Oklahoma City, that's a loss. Philadelphia, that's a win. Phoenix, that's a coin flip.
Right.
Charlotte, that should be a win. At San Antonio, if they don't rest the big three, it's probably a loss. Sacramento's a win. Toronto should be a win.
Should be a win, but it's they don't play that well in Toronto typically.
Utah should be a win at home. At Utah should be a win. At Golden State, probably a loss.
Probably, yeah.
At Portland,
probably a loss.
Probably a loss.
Yeah.
At Chicago should be a win. Versus New Orleans at home should be a win. Versus Memphis at home should be a win. So you're talking about a handful of losses. Like, that's one. Even if they lose at Phoenix, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 losses we expect.
Yeah.
Plus a Toronto one, so it's like 5.5. And then if they win a few of those, then they're good. If they win the games that they should in January, they're going to be – they'll be at a comfortable margin over 500.
And I guess that's the thing is I looked at the schedule before, like, that they've played already and that's coming up before them, and I just don't feel the need to panic. Now, if they don't take advantage of the January schedule, yes, then we should start wondering what the hell is going on with this team.
Yeah.
But until that point – until we hit February, I just don't really see the point of panicking because there's just – I mean – We saw it with Denver last year. We saw it with Houston last year. You get these. You get some of these teams that have these, you know, these new parts and these working parts and these weird schedules that they have to endure early on. And if you get out of that stretch early, treading water, then you can take advantage and have an explosive second half to the season, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that this team is a prime candidate to be one of those types of teams. Now, they could also completely fall apart and not take advantage of the schedule. But until that happens, what is the point of just assuming the worst with this team? And the problem is that you've got a fan base that has you've got a fan base that has looked at 10 years of incompetence with a franchise, right? And it's, well, for the last 10 years, this. Well, for the last 10 years, they haven't had this team. This is the best team they've had, and I think that you have to respect the coach, respect the talent on the team, and stop worrying about the Johnny Flynn, Kurt Rambis, Randy Whitman years. Those have nothing to do with this team right now.
It's, you know, if they struggle in January, like, Love's going to keep getting hammered about, you know, why is it that this great, supposedly great player can't get his teams to the playoffs or can't win? I'm like, he's averaging 26, 14, and 4 on 46, 38, 83.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot make an argument that Kevin Love can do anything more for them offensively, and if he's doing that much offensively for them, you have to give him a break defensively.
Well, the funny thing is, like, last night was Kevin Love can't do it all by himself. Peck had 34 and 14. Peck destroyed DeAndre Jordan. He had two huge misses at the end of the game, but he destroyed DeAndre Jordan. Like, he was unbelievable. Kevin Martin had a really good game aside from turnovers. He had 6 turnovers, but he had 16 points on 12 shots. And he had 4 assists. When's the last time Kevin Martin had 4 assists in a game? Like, it's just, you can't pretend that he has no help. And I mean, before this year, yeah, he didn't have any help. This year, they're figuring out how to make the help work.
Do you still feel like the defense is, like, because you like Peck's defense and you like Rubio's defense.
Yeah.
So is it really just on the perimeter? Is it just like Brewer, Martin?
Right now it's the middle of the floor that's destroying them. That's the problem, is that all, like, the pickups on pick and rolls in the middle of the floor to stop penetration, people are so worried about not having a rim protector. Well, if they rotate properly, the shots never get to the rim. You have teams taking mid-range shots or kicking out for contested shots. And so until they fix that, I mean, Kevin Love has to he's been much better defensively this year, but it's still inconsistent. Corey Brewer has been erratic, as Corey Brewer is wont to do. Kevin Martin's been atrocious on defense, which you expected. I mean, I think the potential is there for them to fix whatever issues there are, but you still have to fix them.
Yeah.
It's not like the system is flawed and they don't have the ability to do it. They're slow to rotate.
Yeah, it's a weird situation just because they have so much talent and they're so, like, we both think that Rick Allen's a really great coach. It's very odd to look at the results and go, what's going on? That's why, I mean, and I think from your end, it's well, then the results aren't congruent with what's going on. And that should correct itself, which I think is a fair approach.
So. Yeah, again, if we get to February and they didn't take advantage of that schedule, then I'll start saying, what the hell's going on with this team? But until then, I just don't know how you look at the context of a season and think that this team is doomed. You can think, I'm not sure that they're going to win, but these absolutes are crazy to me.
So we didn't get a chance to talk about this. It happened on Thursday afternoon after we recorded our last podcast. I had to go in the city for an interview on Friday, so we didn't get to talk about it. We actually haven't talked about Kobe.
Out for 6 weeks. Well, I guess 5.5 at this point.
And that sucks.
Not great.
You know, I know that you're very much in the, well, this isn't a playoff team. I guess I'm just looking at this and saying there are so many teams that are disappointing, and it was like the Eastern Conference, and now the West has got a bunch of teams that are disappointing. So it's I'm very much in the mold of maybe they can do it. I don't know. You know, if they get Kobe back, if they're able to, because, you know, they got the win over the Wolves and they got they got beat down by the Warriors, as they should, but if they're able to get themselves just to hang, if they could just steal enough games to hang, when Kobe gets back, they might be able to make a push. Now, I don't like what they looked like when Kobe came back, and they're going to have that adjustment period again.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I feel like if they can make a run in March, if they can go on a crazy March run, I don't see any reason why they can't make the playoffs.
Well, I just think that there's 10 teams that are, maybe 11 teams that are just more talented than them, and I just feel like talent almost always wins out.
Yeah.
And, you know, injuries will be a big part of that with themselves and teams like New Orleans. And the Warriors and maybe even Dallas, like they can't really afford a big injury. But we always look at like scoring margin as a big indicator of, you know, future success, right? And yeah, they're negative. They're negative by like, they're like, if just straight differential, they're like -3.1 points per game. And I just, like, to me, it just looks like you're going to start teetering when you're doing that. That's another reason why I'm big on the Wolves. They're still almost positive 3 points for the season in just straight up differential. And I just think that, you know, we look at those kinds of measurements and they're usually pretty accurate with how well a team's going to do.
It doesn't make sense to me that they are, but they are.
Yeah.
Like I'm always like, well, yeah, but if you run up the score against crap teams and then get soundly beaten but not destroyed by good teams, you're still going to have this great margin, but it has been proven to be a reliable indicator of success.
Yeah, it's not foolproof by any means, but it's a pretty good pretty good indicator.
I had three radio spots on Thursday when Kobe went down, and all three of them, like the second question I got asked is, how bad does that contract look? And I was like, I don't know. Like, look, if this is the last problem he has, I'm not going to come out here and say they're in real trouble because I don't know. I don't know if they're going to, you know, like they were paying him $24 million this year anyway.
Right. We're
getting around that. They were paying him $30 million this year no matter what.
I think the thing is that it's really hard to know how bad a contract is until it's over and you see the ramifications of what moves could or couldn't be made because of that contract, you know? So
I don't know. Darko Milicic, Michael Beasley.
But those aren't huge contracts. Those are just annoying middle-of-the-road contracts. I'm talking about, like, these big ones.
Yeah, I was just joking. I was wanting to make a joke. So, I mean, yeah, is there a part of you that worries at all? Because you're very much that you have a lot of confidence in talented, consistent players that get injured to come back. Is there a part of you that worries? I mean, he had the Achilles. He's at 35. Now he's got a broken leg and the same leg. Is there a part of you that's concerned, or are you just like, no?
Oh, sure. I mean, no. A guy. If he was 25 and that happened, I wouldn't be worried.
Yeah.
But it would be tough to know this, but if it's likely that that reaction with a fracture in his knee was caused by a weakness in another part of the leg, like his Achilles, and it's compensating, like, there's no way of actually knowing, but do we know whether or not it was a freak injury or it was related? Now, if it's related, obviously I'm going to be worried. If it was a freak injury, I don't know. I don't know how much I worry about that. I guess he's more susceptible to that kind of injury because he's, 35, 36 years old, whatever he is.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's tough to judge that without actual medical evidence. And I don't know how, other than getting the Phoenix Warlocks to look at him and determine some kind of oracle of injuries. I don't know how we come to that conclusion. I'm sure there are plenty of fitness people and doctors out there that could actually give me an answer, but.
And then, you know, we talk about a repetitive issue, man. Brook Lopez's foot.
Ugh. Man. So sick of that. I'm sure he is too. It's the same bone every time, right?
Yeah, he just keeps breaking it.
That fifth metatarsal.
And man, and I said this years ago, and I backed off it because I was like, oh no, he's past it. But big men with bad feet, it's a problem.
Well, I can't remember who did it. Maybe it was Stefan Bondi who tweeted this. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was basically that the decision to bulk up to 290 on a guy who's got foot problems is probably not a great idea, right? And that's easy in hindsight, but you know, I think maybe you'd like to see him find a way to shed some of that weight and see if that'll relieve the stress that it puts on his feet.
I'm doubly bummed just because I wanted to see him. I wanted them to panic trade him to somewhere good. I wanted him to get out of that sinking hole.
Right.
Will this rally them? They can move KG to the five. Maybe that'll help. Will this?
I could see it helping them in the sense that if Kirilenko can come back and play the four,
yeah,
for them, and KG can play the five. I mean, KG, I guess, could be a decent enough five at this point. You're going to have to get good defensive contributions from Joe Johnson and Deron Williams on the perimeter, and then Kirilenko has to be, you know, kind of that defensive wizard we've always seen from him. But I mean, it's good enough to get them. They could still be the fourth seed, you know, just because the East is that bad. But what is that? What does that get them?
Yeah, and I guess then you're thinking like, well, if they have momentum and they're playing small and they're able to match up with Miami, like maybe that could.
No, I mean they're not beating Miami.
You know, and I guess, and I know we're jumping way ahead here, but there's a good chance that the Pacers wind up getting the one, and if they get the one, I mean, that's a team.
Oh.
The Nets have to avoid Indiana like the damn plague.
I agree with you there. I would rather play Miami than Indiana if I'm this Nets team without Brook Lopez.
This is a bad sign.
Oh my God. When you're hoping for Miami, your season is probably done.
Yeah, I'd much rather face LeBron James. This is definitely what I wanted out of the season. And they're adamant that they're not going to do the panic trade. They're just, nope, we're sticking with it.
What do you trade?
The idea would be, like, if you put me in that seat, and I'm saying it's a fire sale, any first-round picks you'll give me, I'll take them. I just need to get back in the lottery.
Who would get a first-round pick from, like, KG? Paul Pierce?
A late first-rounder, here's one. Like, Pau Gasol for Joe Johnson, and I would do Paul Pierce and Joe Johnson for Pau and filler.
That's a lot of filler. How do you even make the contracts work?
You give him everything else. you take Nash as part of it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, I would be aiming for clear cap space. Get draft picks, and if you say, "Well, who's going to give you a draft pick?" Like the later rounds are going to. If you offer a better, even a draft this good, if you go to anybody above 20, and say, "I'll give you an established veteran," for that, like a good established veteran, like even as bad as KG has been, like KG's got to. Because this is the thing I was trying to think of the other day. I was like, "What's the number? What would you put on the number for all these net starters in terms of the over under for? If I'm under this pick, I won't do it. If I'm over, I will." So
yeah,
like KG, I would put it at 25. I would not give up number 25.
I wouldn't give up a first round pick for him. Wow. He hasn't shown anything. Honestly, would you? I get like there's a certain point where you're like, well, it might be worth it if he can get this together and that together or fit into what we do. But, I mean, based on what he's shown this year, I would not give up a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Which is – I played around with the trade machine just now.
Yeah.
Made it work – no, wait. I made it work with Pau Gasol, Steve Nash, and Chris Kaman going to the Nets. Lakers get Joe Johnson and Paul Pierce. What's funny is the Nets just got 8 wins worse and the Lakers got 7 wins worse. Somehow they both got really atrocious from this trade.
So I would probably go with the. I would definitely be clearing house, but they're gonna pretty much hope that they can get hot in March and make a run. Which, I mean, it's fine. They don't have their picks. So there's no reason to tank. You know.
Yeah, I mean, and it is doable just in the sense that
the East is so bad.
The East sucks.
Yeah.
They can legitimately still get a 4 seed without Brook Lopez.
I want to share with you that I'm in deep love with Jeff Hornacek.
I love him.
It's something special that I have with him, and we're gonna run away and live on a mountain.
I don't know how to break this to you, but I've actually been having an affair with him for months.
No. Yeah, I talked to him. I'm doing a feature will be up next week after the holiday on him. That was phenomenal. That team came back from 21 down against Phoenix, or I guess the Nuggets, largely just by – it was funny because I was like, you started going to the ball reversal a lot in that second half, and that opened up the three-point shot for you. You know, was that like a strategic adjustment? And he was like, no, that was pretty much what we were supposed to do from the start. They just weren't really doing it. And then they go and they beat Dallas. I love the way this team's playing. I love Markieff Morris. I love Gerald Green as like a Nick Young that doesn't do Nick Young things. I love I love Goran Dragic. He's playing so well. I love both the Morris twins. I love Channing Frye on this team. Plumlee's really busting his ass. I love everything about Phoenix right now.
Plumlee has been really good. Really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Denver, on the other hand, I'm really pretty worried about.
Talk about that margin of victory thing. I mean, they have a winning record, right? They're 14-12, something like that.
Yeah.
And but their margin, they're not even plus a full point, which makes me wonder, you know, are they teetering? It kind of feels like they are.
They're about to hit the skids because they had, let's see. They lost to Utah, which is a really bad loss at home. They beat New Orleans, which is kind of no, everything's fine. It's okay. It's totally okay. And then they got handled by Oklahoma City at home. Okay, sure. You know, Oklahoma City is really good.
Yeah.
The loss to Phoenix, they blew a 21-point lead. Then they went and they got absolutely stomped by the Clippers on the road. And now, to finish out the year, they have
– not great.
Golden State, New Orleans, Memphis, and Miami. Now, New Orleans and Memphis are winnable games, but New Orleans at home has shown some signs of life. Here's a weird thing. I said about this power rankings. I feel like New Orleans is playing really well and just losing. Like, I don't even understand it. Like, I don't think that they're – I don't necessarily know that they can play better, and their best isn't good enough. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, they do play really well and lose.
Yeah.
What's their point difference, though? It's minus 0.4, and they're three games under 500. So, probably not as bad as the record indicates, right?
Maybe Denver is really New Orleans, and New Orleans is really Denver.
Oh, this is like a face off scenario.
Finkel is Einhorn. what else we got? Oh, what do you think of the wheel that Zach wrote about?
I love it. I hate the lottery when it's weighted. So unless they go to an unweighted lottery, which Orlando won two in a row 20 years ago and everyone freaked out, and so they got rid of that. But that seems – I mean, that's the way to get rid of the incentive of tanking, right? Everyone has a fair shot. Everyone who misses the playoffs has a fair shot at winning. And so unless they're going to go back to that, which makes the most sense to me, I'd love this idea of the wheel.
Yeah, it's weird to have your future predetermined in that sense. It strikes a very odd chord with me, but I like I like the possibilities of it. I like getting rid of the protection, also because doing these mock drafts is making me crazy trying to figure out how which, like I went through twice this weekend and I still got the Sixers wrong. I still forgot that the Sixers have the New Orleans pick, which isn't even protected. I was just like just totally forgot. I got all the protections on the other ones right. Got that one. I was so pissed at myself. I don't know. It's like I don't consider tanking to be a big problem. I tend to believe that there will always be bad basketball. Like that's the biggest differential between I think me and the tanking advocates is this idea that man, the basketball is so bad. We should get rid of bad basketball. And I'm like, I don't know, man. The Bucks tried really hard and they still suck.
Yeah, sometimes you just suck.
Yeah, sometimes you're just a bad team. Like the Nets should be good and they're bad. Like you're always gonna have bad teams.
Yeah.
And bad teams are going to play bad teams on the schedule, and so you're going to have nights where you're just like, God, this game is terrible. Well, that's life.
Right.
Like, there are NFL games that are not good. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
So, but I don't mind the wheel concept. It's kind of different. When I first heard about it, I was hoping that it was actually a wheel, like the wheel of fish in UHF.
Sure.
I don't know. I guess it's fine. I don't really – that's the weird thing is I used to feel I would have these very polarizing opinions about everything, and now I'm like, sure, why not? I don't really care. Like if the owners want it, why not? Go for it.
Well, it's just a thing of like we're not going to be able to influence what they decide anyway, so you kind of just embrace the possibility of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't – Mark Cuban doesn't give a damn what you and I think about the draft lottery process, right?
Right.
Why should he? Like – what the hell do we know? If they decide to make a rule change, they decide to make a rule change. And so you just figure out what would be the benefits and how does it work.
We got anything else?
Games tonight, games on Christmas?
Let's go ahead and do tonight.
We got a crap load on the schedule.
All right. Cleveland at Detroit. It's a pick'em. It moved. It was minus one for the Cavs, and now it's a pick'em.
I like this Cavs team lately. I go Cavs.
Me too. Detroit makes me crazy.
Which is weird. When they put this team together, we thought so highly of their abilities to be consistent.
Well, I thought – like, I would have never thought they would beat the Pacers. I just would never think that that would be a game that they would win. I thought they would lose to the – I mean, and that's the – that's kind of the mistake that I think you make when you're going through preseason stuff is you think that, oh, well, they're going to be inconsistent, which means that they'll lose to – like, they're not going to be – they're going to be okay but not great. So they're going to lose to the – they're going to lose to the good teams and beat the bad teams. And that's, like, not how it is with some teams at all.
Right.
Like, there are teams like that.
Right.
But – like, that is not one of them. Like, there are a bunch of these teams that just – they lose to good teams – they lose to bad teams and beat the good ones. Charlotte against the spread, when they're underdogs, they're 14-5-1. They're 3-5 when favored.
That's weird.
Yeah. They just play down in the competition every time.
Yeah.
The Knicks, who – that was a bad loss to Memphis.
I love this – I don't even dislike the Knicks. I don't dislike their fan base. I love this Knicks season because it is infinitely fascinating. From top of the organization down to the fans.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
It's really entertaining. Like, it's worth it for the Knickerblogger recaps. Like,
it is.
The Knicks are a point and a half favorite on the road versus Orlando. I'm taking the Knicks. I don't like Orlando where they're at right now.
No, Orlando is in a bad, bad place. I will also take the Knicks.
The Bobcats are 7-point favorites at home versus Milwaukee, which usually I would blanch at the Bobcats being favored by more than 5 at any point, but they really killed Milwaukee last time.
I have a hard time. Even 7 points in Charlotte, I have a hard time thinking the Bucks are trustworthy in a situation like this to cover. So I'll take the Bobs.
I can actually see it being like a close game and then the Bobcats just kind of run away with it. You can just push it to 8. You can definitely see them covering the one. Hawks are on the road versus Miami. It's 8.5.
I feel like this is a sneaky close game. I'll go Hawks to cover, Miami to win. I like this Hawks team lately.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami or Atlanta as well, actually. Which this will that will inevitably be in the blowout.
Right.
Indiana is in Brooklyn. The Nets are only 6.5-point dogs.
Yeah, they could be 12-point dogs. I'm taking Indiana.
Yeah.
And by the way, Lance Stephenson air humping celebration. Big fan.
That was pretty amazing. Did you see Jeff Green's quote?
No.
Jeff Green said, "Yeah, I didn't appreciate celebrating like that. We'll see him again."
Yeah,
and I said,
"I bet you will."
And my response was, "And then, like,
and we're only going to lose by 15 this time."
Exactly.
We're going to show them.
The Rockets, who have been making, who are the Pistons of the West to
yes.
me, are 5.5-point favorites at home versus the Mavericks.
I feel like the Rockets are like the Mr. Magoo of the NBA right now. They keep just getting out of these awful situations. I'm gonna go Rockets. What the hell?
I'm going Rockets just because I feel like this is one where they're begging you to take Dallas here and then they punish you.
Yeah.
So. Memphis is I don't understand this. Memphis is a 6-point favorite at home versus the Jazz. Look, they beat the Knicks and all, but come on now.
Jazz have won 4 out of their last 7.
Yeah.
They look pretty competitive. I'm going to go Jazz. I don't feel good about it, but what the hell?
I'm taking Memphis only from the perspective of I start thinking – like I try to get everything out of my mind and just think about the matchups. That was what I tried to do. Is I was like, all right, Conley should give Burke the business. You know, Tony Allen should be able to wreak some havoc on their perimeter. Richard Jefferson will probably have a good game. But, you know, they've also got – like I don't know who's going to guard Zebo. Like Favors – I don't like Favors on Zebo.
No.
So.
No.
The Spurs are 11-point favorites versus those scrappy Toronto Raptors.
I just can't go against the Spurs machine right now.
I am also taking them. I don't buy into this Raptors. I think this is a dead cat bounce. So everyone thinks that they're you know, I had this big argument last night trying to explain to him, like, you still need the talent. Like, it's
right.
You don't have anybody who's good except Kyle Lowry. Like, that's, you know, I like DeMar, but the numbers aren't there. Like, I watched DeMar DeRozan. I'm like, oh, great move by DeMar. Oh, great shot. And then I look at his numbers, and I'm like, that's not inspiring.
It feels a little, I mean, they don't play the same way, but it feels a little bit like early Monte Ellis.
A little bit.
It looks good, but then you look at the impact of it all, and you're like, whoa, that's not good.
Yeah. I do not understand this at all. Please explain this to me. The Denver Nuggets are favored by 1.5 versus the Golden State Warriors tonight.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
that doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right.
I have to go with the Warriors here, don't I?
Yeah.
You're giving a point to the Warriors?
I got them winning by 9, but I mean, this would be a disaster loss for Golden State, on the road or not. Like, they should kill this team.
Yeah. No, I'm going Warriors. I'm fully prepared to be like, oh, that's why. But
Iguodala should be primed for like a 40-point game, because he's going to get like there's some that's the big debate tonight, is whether or not Denver fans care enough to boo Andre Iguodala. That's like a real big debate in town. Huh. Is whether or not like the casual fans are aware of the mole thing, and whether that's going to cause like a huge, like, Chris Marlowe, their announcer, really believes that the fans are going to go ballistic on Iguodala, and I'm very much like, I think they're pretty much going to be home because they watched the Broncos yesterday and everyone's going for Christmas. Like, right.
I just don't see why they would care that much, but I don't know.
Like, I think a good fan base would care. Like, if the situation was reversed, like, God, the Warriors fans would, there'd be death threats.
Right.
It'd be insane, but, you know, Denver ain't that. The Suns, I was really shocked by this. Apparently, after a long time of getting killed, Vegas is starting to overcorrect, because the Suns are favored by 8 versus the Swag Time tonight.
I like the Suns to win, but I think the Lakers cover. I think it's like a 6-7 point win.
I will take Jeff Hornacek all day. The line could be 50 and I would still take the Suns.
Wow.
Because I love the Suns, and it's completely irrational at this point.
Wow.
Like, I watch the Grizzlies games and just feel depressed and sad, so, like, the Suns are my happy place that I go to. The Suns and Blazers are, like, where I go to feel like the world is a bright place. But I could definitely see the Lakers winning, because nothing about them makes sense. And then, finally, the Pelicans are at the Kings. It's a pick'em.
Pellies.
Yeah, I'm taking Pelicans, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I can get the lines for Christmas real quick. I took the bullet. I volunteered for Bulls Nets, which somehow got worse.
I saw that. I really appreciate that.
I was just like, I can't make these guys do this.
I'm getting the second half of Rockets Spurs, and then I get all of Clippers Warriors. That's a nice Christmas for me.
Yeah, you got the good games. You got the later ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really wish we could just skip.
Honestly,
I just really want to skip.
You probably could. Who's gonna notice?
You know, it's sad. Like, Christmas is supposed to be the NBA's coming out thing, and now it's, you know, the injury. I mean, have we reached a point where, well, as I continue to look for these, have we reached a point where the injuries have, like, surely they will start to consider shortening the schedule? Because, good God,
I just don't see them giving up that money. Yeah. If they can find a way to supplement it, sure, but. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Man, they're not on the board. They were on the board preseason, but I can't find. They're not putting them out. They're taking them off the board till tomorrow. That's a bummer.
Let's
talk about them in general. Bulls, Nets.
Nobody cares.
Misery wins.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Thunder Knicks is actually kind of an interesting one. Somebody tweeted to me that Melo hasn't lost to Durant since his rookie season.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a sneaky good matchup, I guess. You gotta go with the Thunder. I mean, even no matter what the line is, I would go with the Thunder, but...
Like, Russell Westbrook should score 100 points, right?
He's going to eat Raymond Felton while Raymond Felton eats Beno Udrych.
Felton's out?
Oh,
Pablo's
that's right.
Out.
Oh, poor Beno.
Oh, it's Beno versus Westbrook.
Beno's gonna be begging Raymond Felton to eat him.
At some point, Toure Murray is going to be guarding Russell Westbrook.
I'm telling you, Ricky Davis is right there in Erie, Pennsylvania.
And then, like, what are the other matchups? Like, Ibaka versus Bargnani.
Oh.
That's fun.
Oh, my God.
That's fun.
Oh.
I mean, this should be the game that Tyson Chandler walks off court and retires, right? Like this should do it.
Yeah. Either that, or he sees if like that Steven Seagal neck breaking move actually works in real life, and he just goes up to every teammate tries it.
What if they win? Like when, man.
Actually, that would be awesome if they won. That would be right. The we're back.
Yeah.
Turn it around.
And then they lose like five in a row.
Right.
Like, I don't see that happening.
Heat Lakers.
That's the thing about Bulls Nets is Bulls Nets, like they're one of those teams is gonna feel good about their win and it's gonna be, and like I just wanna be, no, do not take you know, be not proud. No. Yeah.
Heat Lakers is that, I mean, that's not a contest either, right? The Lakers could be weird to make it competitive because that's just how they've been this season.
Man, the Heat, this is the prototype of a game that the Heat just dog it.
Yeah.
Miami, more than anybody, doesn't take these games seriously. Like, LeBron just cannot be bothered.
Yeah, I don't feel like they have to, though.
Even less LeBron. LeBron's still good when he doesn't care. Like, Wade, and especially like in these games, is like, I wouldn't be surprised if Wade sits.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
You know, and then Powell's been playing better, so maybe he can take Bosch.
That'll actually be a fun matchup. I like that matchup.
And so then it's like Nick Young versus like Ray Allen, and that's an advantage to Nick Young.
Well, yeah, it's Nick Young.
Uh huh.
I like his swag Rambo, or his swaggy Rambo get up the other night after the game. That was amazing.
Okay, Rocket Spurs, the start of the two games that matter.
I like the Spurs in this. I really do. What are the odds that Popovich wears a Christmas bow tie?
I kind of like Houston. They get up for the biggest games. That's the one thing I have noticed with them is they get up for the big, big games.
Yeah.
So I'll take Houston.
Okay.
And then Clippers-Warriors, that's a really even matchup at this point.
Yeah, I think I like the Clippers in this. They seem to – well, we'll see how tonight goes with the Warriors-Nuggets, but I like where the Clippers are right now.
I'll take the Warriors. I don't think the Clippers defense is good enough to contain the perimeter attack.
It's probably not, but
I think Bogut gets DeAndre ejected.
Probably. What quarter does Matt Barnes get his flagrant to?
That guy, man. That guy.
He's so tough when there's a crowd of people between him.
Okay, well, we have a Christmas video out that you guys should check out.
Yes.
Power rankings are up today along with power tankings. Tomorrow we'll have coverage. We'll have previews for all of the games for Wednesday in case you don't like yourself very much.
Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. Happy holidays if you don't.
Yeah, happy holidays. Thanks for everyone for listening to us.
You know, absolutely.
We really appreciate it, and we wish you all a very, very merry something or other.
Just have a merry day.
Merry day.
Be well.
Thanks, guys.